Welcome to Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. A Buddha is someone who's awake within the matrix and co-creating with divinity as a soul having a human experience. Each enlightened episode is dedicated to help you level up the energy field of your Merkaba. You can manifest the parallel reality that fits the best version of you. This podcast is for entertainment purposes and does not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Now, let's welcome your host, author Vaughn Galt, and her guest.
Welcome to another podcast episode of Merkaba Chakras. I'm your host, Vaughn Galt. And today we talk to Dr. Allison J. Kay about energy healing in our everyday lives and what life is like being a constant magnet for abundance. In Buddhism, we are reminded that good health, good company of loving family and friends, and having our basic needs met, such as comfortable housing, healthy food, and a direct connection to Christ consciousness within each of us, makes us healthy beyond infinity. So with that, Dr. K, welcome to Merkaba Chakras.
Thank you, Vaughn. I'm excited to be here and see what unfolds in this time with you, where this interview goes.
Oh, thank you for accepting the invitation. So let's get into some of the wonderful things that you have to offer people. Okay, so before we get into your work, can you please tell everyone how you even got into this work?
Well, it was always natural for me. I always have felt this connection to going out in nature, for example, with my older brother when I was walking age on up, and just connecting and feeling totally connected with the trees, the elementals, the creeks. And then it became me writing in a journal as a teen, connecting in with my higher self and learning, I guess, how to more focus that interconnectivity. And I entered as a psych major in college because my mom had said, you know, you're really good with people and understanding them at a very basic level and understanding people. And so I felt the fit. I went in, but after three semesters was like, this isn't answering the question of how do we be the happiest, most thriving versions of ourselves. So ever since then, I've been kind of looking at, without problem solving, instead approaching life from more of a human potential perspective. How do we be the most thriving, joyous versions of ourselves possible?
Yeah. So you started off in psych, and then you kind of like, what, did you finish school and get your degree in psychology and then went to the corporate world in psychology? And then you kind of veered off into doing your own work? Or, I mean, how did you get into writing the books? I mean,
yeah, it's nothing experience? Like what you just said. Okay. Yeah, but thank you. You're asking for the rest of the story, and I'll give it to you. Sorry, I was just trying to keep it brief. So forgive me, those of you who are followers of me, and you've heard this story before. So what happened, Vaughn, was I did not end up, I switched majors after that third semester, realizing, wow, you're so focused on hardwiring and using a psychology like in a capitalistic application of industrial management, and just wasn't answering the basic question that I just said. So I switched into a major in mass communications to understand ultimately how we're conditioned by advertising. And then majors into social thought, political economy, to look at how we're conditioned by our politics and society. And ultimately, my last major that I had ended up with my bachelor's in is English literature and creative writing, so I could study humanity and psychology of humans and society from an artistic form. I moved out west after getting that bachelor's to go for my master's in creative writing. And during the wait time after submitting my stories for entry, I synchronistically got offered a job as a political organizer and consultant. And I hit my stride succeeding so quickly up the ranks that they threw me on these really important campaigns and I had huge success. And so I was getting a little bit stressed because I really wanted to deliver with getting a conservation minded candidate elected into both the state and at the federal level. And so a book flew off a shelf in a bookstore and stopped me in my tracks on meditation. Oh, cool. I learned to meditate. And from there, rather quickly began to teach meditation because it was such a natural fit for me. And meanwhile, like I was visiting the Chinatown in San Francisco. I think it's the best one. Maybe
it is
in the country, even better than New York City's. And so I picked up a book on the I Ching and I would just kind of, there was a natural interest for me, even though I was doing work within the Native American medicine wheel community, there was a natural interest for me in what the wisdom of Tao Te Ching and Lao Tzu and ancient Taoist philosophy held. And so from there, campaign season ended. I went backpacking around the world, lived in on a Greek island for a month, lived in Israel for a month, lived in England, blah, blah, blah. Came back, went for my master's in now public administration with the focus on environmental policy, graduated. Mm-hmm. And as I was graduating, I picked up my first energy medicine modality, which is Yusui Reiki. And it was, I'm only six removed from the founder of Reiki itself. It's a very pure lineage I was able to become a part of. And so as I was graduating, I was job hunting and I was asking the question, where will I affect more change if I'm within the system, like in an EPA locally or nationally, or if I'm outside the system, like in an NGO or nonprofit? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you know that feeling of when like it doesn't seem like things are flowing and it's just like doors are I felt that sense of like pushing and making happen, and so I pulled back and I asked, you know, my intuition, my higher self, what does this mean? If I am going to affect change, how best do I do this? Mm-hmm. And then I got given the awareness that the fossil fuel industry was way still too steeped in the marketplace and in common everyday life. It wasn't ready at all to shift then. And ironically, I found out later, that was when Gore, who left politics and started to film An Inconvenient Truth and traveled around the world with An Inconvenient Truth and eventually won that Nobel Peace Prize for it. I stepped out of politics for environmental conservation and out of environmental conservation at that same time. Going back into my bachelor's, using that in the classroom as a classroom teacher, working with consciousness one at a time in the public school system, but also running energy medicine and holistic wellness sessions as a second revenue stream alongside that.
That's very common. A lot of people do a kind of a tangent or kind of a side hustle as they, because they call them now a side hustle or a extra job where they do their energy.
Well, it wasn't that for me. It was more mission-based. It was like, how can I affect consciousness and how can I get the most change? And I was teaching meditation in the classroom to middle school boys, in particular ones who were labeled ADD and ADHD. I was teaching Qigong, what I had already learned about Qigong, to the boys in the club. There were girls too. So I was already delivering the applicable actions of how do I help consciousness, how do I create the most change possible through working with consciousnesses one at a time to getting them to shift. So I was in a session with a client and she was in a third session of a group of 10 and I had my hands over her third and second chakra and chakras. She'd already gotten really great results. And I looked up and asked my higher self and guidance, hey, so how can I get even more robust results for my clients? This is great. And at the same time, I was starting to feel caged, both from the lack of abundance in, I had a master's and I was barely able to cover basic needs. That wasn't okay with me. Plus I had this feeling I was being caged for like decades ahead. And I had already traveled around the world a couple of times and lived as an exchange student, even in high school down in Venezuela. So I always had the sense of adventure and jumping out of planes and dancing and just, you know, testing my boots, skiing and having fun. And so the sense of being caged and non-freedom and just struggle wasn't okay with me. So these two things converged. I learned about within about a month's time after having this isn't okay, this caged feeling and this lack of abundance and how can I get more robust results for my clients. to me learning about the international school system. And so I did what I had to do to get in a position to get interviewed by all the different international school heads that came in from schools I was interested in, interviewing like with all around the world, and chose to go to Taiwan, the small democratic nation where you can practice, and they do practice with more freedom, the traditional Chinese and Taoist beliefs. And so I felt like I was going to not only the seat of understanding how subtle energy flows and how consciousness works, but also who was still operating from it today. Not like in the West, how it's kind of gone underground with the secret societies and mystery schools after the alchemists. So during the Enlightenment period. So I spent a decade in Asia studying subtle energy, studying how energy flows. I got certified in India as a yoga teacher. I became a Qigong teacher. I would go to the monasteries and visit and ask questions and tour around and chant. I get traditional treatments and ask questions as I was getting the traditional treatment. So I eventually pieced together this entire vibrational upgrade system. Hadn't created it yet, but came back to the States with a mission of, man, there would be so much less suffering and more thriving if we in the West understood, rather than ran from internal, going internal and focus on the external. If we understood, if we were to work with our subtle energy system and consciousness, just how much more of our potential could be brought forth. So that's been my mission since 2010. And in these awakening times, it's been brilliant to help have people understand that the mayhem that's been going on since around 2012, it's 2012 to 2032 is our spiritual awakening. I did a show on Voice America for 2.5 years interviewing specialists about this. And even went to Chichen Itza on December 21st, 2012 as one of the specialists myself. And we did a special ceremony with a Mayan shaman. And I have understood that these times we're in are unparalleled with the vast leap in evolution humanity is making. And it is our spiritual awakening. So I feel like coming out of the most recent eclipse, the full moon, super moon, it's really a turning point for, we've been through the period of all of the old stuff that is no longer working, rising to the surface, where things have been misaligned, where there's been abuses of power. So these are all starting to crumble, and yet the new has to be built. And so we're in the stage of turning the corner and starting to look at, okay, what can we still create now?
We're coming out of the cocoon. Kind of, you know, I want to ask you something because you have a background in like when you got out of college, and we're going to be talking about money, magnet, abundance, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, using your journey in your career path to have your journey of what you love doing right now and being abundant with it. A lot of people, especially young people who listen to this, are trying to figure out what to do with themselves, what they're going to want to do, etc. But with you, after you graduated, you got into grassroots efforts for a political campaign. And this is something I've definitely noticed. I mean, I'm American. I live here in Seattle, Washington. But I also travel, and I know a lot of people from around the world, et cetera, et cetera. And one thing that I hear often from people in other countries is I will agree with this too, is that politics in America is so polarizing and it's so much of an identity for people. It almost looks, and I quote one of my friends from Italy said, you guys look like a cult. You pick your cult and then you hate the other, and then you spend a lot of your time just going through these political fields, and you don't even hear the other side because you're so much into your identity. And you just found another sophisticated way in which to hate each other and then not work together. So this is a perspective that I hear commonly from friends in Asia, in Europe, in Africa. I work in IT and we talk to everybody all over the world, you know, engineers all in India and other places. So, and I can't disagree with them because I recognize that. So from your background in working in politics for that time frame, and then looking at what's going on with this country, our country right now, in terms of the very black and white polarity in identity politics, what is your opinion on kind of where does this go in terms of you know, awakening and this time frame they're talking about from 2012 to 35 is what you said. So can you give us your insight on this phenomenon?
So 2012 to 2032 is a 20-year window, and it's considered our greatest evolutionary leap. Within that time was the Trump era. And I believe that was an aberration, and it was specific to the awakening times. So from, if you look at 2012 to 2032, that's a 20-year window. Let's add one on, easy division, and divide it into thirds. So thirds means three sevens. So the first 7 years, adding that on to 2012, brings us to 2019. Mm-hmm. In the first time of this massive evolutionary change, it included having all the buried dysfunction rise to the surface, massive clearing and massive purging. So that includes us humans, and it includes our institutions, whether it's banking, politics, education, whatever. So in that time, the identity politics, the cult-like personality politics that you quoted feedback about is, from my perspective, historical perspective and educated perspective, is it was an aberration from the nature of the times we're in, so that more could be brought to the surface. I wrote about this in my third book, Reasonable Dragons. It's the one of my four books that's available on audible.com. And while so I don't feel like the current nature of what's happening politically is typical for American politics. It's just in natural healing, in energy medicine, when I work with the client, the way our mind, body, spirit system is designed, there is this phenomena of like the fever has to peak before it breaks when one of your kids
has fever. Yeah.
It's the same kind of phenomena. It's called actually a healing response. And anybody who works with me, I give them this document from decades of experience, seeing how people will have their ego mind misinterpret, this seems to be getting worse, or I'm going backwards. When in fact, it's that peaking before breaking, and then the shift that they're asking for comes in.
Right.
So what we're seeing right now is a squeezing contraction on identity. And what I say, what I have understood and nowadays say identity is connected with is the ego, or the ego mind, as we talk about it in meditation and in Buddhism. So what we're doing in these spiritual awakening times is learning to live beyond that identity and that small me, small I self, and learning how to come into more of a heart alignment. The Dalai Lama said, and I quoted him in my first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong? He said, it's the Western woman who's going to change the world. Mm-hmm. So I bring that up because we have incredible liberties in the United States. We're also the only country on the planet Earth that has the makeup it has. We are a very unique experiment. And as we move forward, we're providing, we provide a role model for the world, you know, for good and bad. I learned when I was traveling one time in I was in Bangkok with a buddy of mine, and we were sitting outside at a tableside riverside restaurant. And this guy came up who was a part of the recent, I don't want to name the country because I just don't want to, but they had just gone through some type of civil war where the guy came up, he heard my accent, he heard us talking, or maybe he heard my buddy's accent, and he started just spewing, you know, you Americans, you take your democracy for granted. And I just came from seeing a bunch of my friends die, and I just had to fight for my own democracy. And so I learned from there on in, it's easier for me when I travel, whether it was the Trump era or way before that, to lie and say Canadian. And I would typically get mistaken as a Canadian because I have a more and surfer kind of easygoing mentality.
You kind of have a native look, you could pass for a little bit of native Canadian.
Oh my God, I've never been told that. How fun is that?
Yeah. You know, kind of like some people in the United States have a little percentage of Cherokee that kind of, you know, comes out in their cosmology. You can kind of pass for native Canadian a little bit.
Thanks.
So, a little Eskimo. So
yeah, we've been screwed up, but we're not the only place in the country. And like Chile had streetwide protests this year or last year. Other countries that hardly have ever had, not Venezuela and not Moscow, but even Moscow, Russia has had protests streetwide, which has been a really new phenomena.
England just had a huge freedom march over the weekend.
But England's not a good example in what I'm talking about, because they're used to protesting. They're used to being able to even use their voices to speak up against abuses of authority, abuses of power. What I'm saying is this spiritual awakening time across the board, humans are awakening and everything has to be brought into alignment, including our institutions, our politics, our governments, our banking, our healthcare, our education systems, so that there's no longer those abuses of power and it's brought into alignment with the higher self and the heart.
Right. Right.
And so what we had come forward from the Trump era politics was for that purpose. We will eventually shift beyond this identity politics, but the identity clamping, the polarization that's so intense right now, it wasn't there when I was in politics. And it's there now because I consider it a symptom of the fever is peaking before it breaks, before we move into something better. Because the next thing coming in is unity. So what's the opposite of unity? Polarization.
Yeah. Yeah. And you explained that beautifully. I've asked similar questions about the polar nature of current affairs with different guests, and every single one of them almost consistently says the same thing in their own little way, is that when you see things classify and polarize and it's so stark, okay, be prepared for something new to spring in between, something new to come forward that you didn't expect to happen, like something around the corner comes through. And that, because typically, like in Buddhism, they have you have to understand the concept of the opposites. And I repeat this over and over again, because it's a very basic understanding. You have to understand the concept of the opposites. Without the opposites, you can't see both sides of the discussion so that you can decide what you want to do next. If you only see one side and you don't see the other side, where do you go? You know, you need the mirror so you can decide, okay, well, I like this aspect here and I like this aspect here. And okay, so I'm going to fuse a couple of these aspects and make something that's going to be much more harmonious. And nature likes harmony. That's the balance. Nature always likes harmony and balance. So
you're talking
about
the yin yang. You're talking about the opposites, and that even that opposite is in, there's a nature, part of the nature inherently of that opposite in this thing. So there's unity in polarity. There's actually polarity in unity.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah.
So that concept, that field is from Taoist principles. Mm-hmm. And so the yin yang comes from traditional Chinese medicine, or it doesn't come from, but it's a part of TCM building on the yin yang. But another aspect of theirs is a basic Taoist tenet is, and you brought this up, follow nature's way. Lao Tzu said that. You know, so nature, the inherent nature of trees and of flowers is to grow up, it's to expand. They don't grow down. There's one tree across the entire planet of species, different species of trees, that's limbs actually grow down. Mm-hmm. Everything else in nature grows, expands. It's the
there has to be one that grows down. There always has to be one.
Yeah, so we're just in an expansion phase, but it doesn't show up as expansion. And I find myself saying this so often. And actually, another podcast interviewer a while back said to me, you should get that on a t-shirt. I find that in explaining what something is that's happening to someone, kind of like a question that you just asked, but something's personal in their lives, they're asking me about after having gotten clearings and activations from me. I find myself consistently having to reinterpret it out of the ego mind. Interpretation and into the soul level, universal level interpretation of it. It's usually the opposite. The ego mind sees things and perceives things and labels it and judges it and evaluates it in this myopic small view, when in fact, from the universe's perspective, it's usually the exact opposite. So for example, the Italian who is telling you guys are so identity focused and polarized, well, okay, the mind could evaluate that. You could observe that. And yes, that's true to a degree, but what is actually being meant from the bigger picture, from the holistic perspective, from the universe's perspective of the divine?
Right. Yeah. It's what I find very interesting in this, because we're As people, we're constantly looking for ways to live our most abundant self, our most abundant life, whether it's in money, it's in health, it's in whatever. We're always looking for the highest frequency or the most abundant, okay? And we're talking about abundance here. And typically, through the dichotomy of that polarization is where you can decide where you want to navigate for your next best abundant experience. And so for me, what's very hard for a lot of people, I get along with my foreign friends very well, but my US friends, for me, what is very interesting is they just can't really gauge which team I'm on. And I tell them over and over again, I'm not on any team at all. It's like trying to brand me as, well, you are a Chevy girl or you are a GM girl, you know, I mean, those kind of identity where people identify with their cars, same kind of thing with the politics. That when you take the labels off of the cars, they all look like the same car. Mm-hmm. Okay. But so now you just evaluate based on its performance and based on its track record, because you don't have the branding and the marketing and the propaganda and all that. You're saying
it's all ego.
It's all ego. That's all ego. This car is a luxury because it's this, it has this brand. And then there's this, you know, when you drive it, it's going to make you feel and look like this, whatever. This is all the marketing play that plays into ego. But when you strip it off, then you just have the core concept. And when I am discussing anything, especially with current affairs, I am looking at the core concept. There is no teams involved. And so sometimes I will switch from here, then maybe I'll switch from here, maybe I'll go in the middle. Maybe I'll just sit back and watch you guys duke it out so I can see what happens and then go, okay, well, this is ridiculous. I'm going to move forward and create this. So this is the next question I have for you in your work of building abundance and kind of magic money abundance is, how do you develop that magic formula in trying times so that you don't get caught up with the whiplash, I guess, basically, it feels like you're getting hit all over the place. How do I know what's right? How do I know what's real? How do I know this, you know? I mean, you just, everybody feels like they have a neck pain because they're having whiplash from everything going on. So how can we navigate to get the best and highest, most abundant experience through these trying times?
So my signature program is called Magic Manifestation and Money Flow. That's in part why she's using those terms, you guys. So Magic Manifestation and Money Flow is named what it is because my sense of it, from what I've seen in working with people. So when I came back in 2010, the market had just crashed. Now I had, by moving into the international school system and over to Asia and having the contract negotiated the way I did, I increased my net cash flow income by 60%. So I was tucked away nicely while the market was crashing. I came back to the States expecting to talk about spiritual awakening and holistic health and wellness, spiritual path. And everybody I was put in front of in the workshops were worried about money. They couldn't hear what I was teaching, and I could see it. And I'm like, okay, so what is on your mind right now? I would interrupt content I had come in there, you know, as an ex-classroom teacher, talking about to deliver. And I would see that they couldn't follow, and they weren't there present with me receiving. And so I understood from their responses, asked a bunch of different workshops, a bunch of different times, a bunch of different people, not that money, because it was pretty obvious, money. So I became unexpectedly, ridiculously proficient in doing money clearings and in running money clearings and activations on people unexpectedly. Now, meanwhile, it helped me because I had never been in the corporate world. I had never been in a six-figure job. I got close to that when I moved overseas, but I was a teacher. And before that, I had been in a nonprofit. So I was not used to operating from a profit motivation and owning my own business has been a six-figure business for years now. I required some activations on myself. about like, how do I open up to receive more? How do I open up to see other possibilities? I can go into more of that in just a bit. So I was surprised by going in that direction. And so I created Magic Manifestation and Money Flow because what I came to understand about money is the same thing as even, it's a little bit different than health, but it's neutral. Money itself is neutral, but we have our projections. And I talk about this in all of my books. We're like projectors on top of a neck. We take our past, we take our experiences, we take our conclusions about the way the world works, the way people react to me, the way money reacts to me, the way people happen to surround me or get away from me when I'm at a party, the way people react when I show up into Starbucks and wait in line, the way people react when I, you know, blah, blah, blah. We have all these definitions about the world that we project out with our expectations. So we're creating on a neutral reality. We're just repeating our past. We do that with money as well. And so when we're in, when we start addressing all the back of the house beliefs and that are at the unconscious and subconscious level, the traumas, the conditioning, the imprints, the karma, I call it the back of the house consciousness. When we work with that and we free up, because it's only about 10%, 15 at most, that we are hearing our mind's thoughts. That's only 10 to 15% of what actually exists in our consciousness. It's at least 85, if not over 90%. I think it's higher than 90 from all my experience in working with people that everybody's creating their day-to-day life from. It's the robot mode. And so when you are a girl, let's say you're a single woman and you want to get over the bad boy complex. You want to start dating a good guy. You want to open up to thinking a sensitive guy, a soft man could give good sex. Because I remember talking with a buddy of mine. He was a sensitive, beautiful man, but not like, you know, a big man's man. He was sensitive. Mm-hmm. And so he said to me, yeah, we get to be a lot of friends, but we don't get a lot of sex with women. So there's all these, so let's say a woman wants to come out of that pattern and consider having a sensitive guy. When she goes to a party, if you have done no work on your own consciousness, you're not going to see the sensitive guy. You're going to come into the party, and because like attracts like, what your thoughts at the conscious level already are, and more so what you're looking towards bad boys for at the unconscious, subconscious level to reinforce unconscious conclusions about how you are with men, how your dad was with you, how you are with romance, all of this other stuff that dictates your choices, what you see and don't see as possibilities, you'll end up going to the part of the party where that bad boy is in the corner, as opposed to not even ever having your peripheral vision see or perceive the sensitive guy. So when we clear out that back of the house consciousness, and we're, that allows us to shift more into alignment with the flow, and that overall flow is an upsurging of more energy released from the blocked positioning, whether in the back of the house consciousness, literally at the back of the brain, like I'm pointing to, or in relevant chakra closed down at the bodily level, depending on the topic of the belief or the trauma or the karma, because every chakra covers one of the main domains of life, right? So once we clear that out, and we then therefore become more in alignment with having more vital life force energy coming in, and we're allowing it to come in and distribute throughout our system, we're in the flow. And from there, we can manifest as if by magic, and that includes money. And that includes clarity. And that includes intuitive guidance. And that includes, especially at the fifth chakra, more courage to choose based on what our intuitive guidance is showing us. Because I feel like when people are asking questions in as far as who do I believe, all of this different divergent information's coming in, who do I trust, how do I make heads or tails out of this, that happens only because you're externally focused. It's when you're not anchored in your own center and in your own knowing, you can be knocked about like a sailboat by the winds. But when you have your own grounded knowing and connection to your higher self, as we say in yoga, which I have come to understand, then comes the divine. So when you, and I'm not in the land or territory right now of saying, but what, how can you trust it? What if it's your imagination? I'm saying we've moved beyond that now, because part of the clearing that happens is that you begin to be able to discern, here's my conscious mind with its thoughts that are leading me astray. I cannot listen to them, and you released more consciousness so you can have more at your disposal in the present moment to make a higher
vibratory choice, meaning one that will lead to a higher vibration outcome, a higher vibratory outcome, because you're making it from a higher vibratory place. So you can trust your guidance once you've done a certain amount of personal development and clearing and activation. And mm-hmm. so there's no question here of what if my intuition is wrong, because as I teach my vibrational upgrade practitioners in training, when you're channeling the light on behalf of somebody else, mm-hmm. that light has an intelligence of its own. Somebody right. can come to me, and this has happened over and over again with chronic back pain, and I am seeing that I'm at their knees, and this is when the most heat is going on to their knees. Their knees are hurting, mm-hmm. and the most heat's coming out of my hands, and I'm in a sweat. But yeah. it's the back that they came to me for, chronic back pain in the back. Why are the knees drawing so much attention? Mm-hmm. I could also not even be at the knees. I can be opening up their session. I'm at the crown chakra, and all of the energy is going towards their knee. None of it's going towards their back. And they're talking within 3 minutes of the opening of the session. I'm still at their crown. They're saying, oh my God, my knee hurts, because this life force, chi, has an intelligence of its own. So it's not up to me.
Yeah, you're just a facilitator.
Yeah.
You're just a conduit for the energy. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, your vibrational upgrade system. So how can somebody, let's talk about health really quick, because health is on top of everybody's mind on how they can, you know, increase or use energy medicine to increase their immune system, make sure their body is optimal. So, you know, right now, people really want to know how can they use this consciousness technology and connect to that light to upgrade the system in which their body or in which their soul is embodied in their body, whatever condition it or state it is in currently, whether it's in pain, whether it's chronically in pain, whether it, you know, whatever state it's in. How can we use the vibrational upgrade system to upgrade to the most abundant body we can have?
So
whatever our cards are.
Okay. Well said. I'm having my intuition flag that there's some listeners that will benefit from me framing it this way, which is atypical to go into on an interview. The abuse of the body is the abuse of the feminine. Relating to the body. So if we were to break it down in yin yang, and part everything's rebalancing in this 20-year window, including the masculine and the feminine, not genders specifically, but within me, my masculine and feminine is rebalancing, and then societal wide, and then in our institutions. And so masculine is yang, masculine is the sun, yin is female, feminine, pardon me, yin is the moon, yin is intuition, yin is seeding something, not talking about something as soon as you have an idea, but letting it seed, letting it grow in the dark, like a baby growing in the womb. Yang is taking an action step. So there's a little bit of a brief description for those who don't know. And so part of the feminine is the earth. Part of the feminine is the embodiment. Part of the feminine is getting in touch with the body. And I find it really eye-opening the amount of abuse women heap on themselves with their body image, the contortion that women do. I mean, I'm a personal trainer, for God's sakes. I've been a gym rat for decades. I'm also a yoga teacher. I've done my own contortion of my body. You know, as I'm sitting there doing bicep curls, you know, I am sculpting my body. You
right.
know? So I've been a little bit more friendly with my body because I've been asking it to work with me, as opposed to you must look like this. So I feel like that's a start to responding to, like, the understanding that our bodies are here in collaboration with us. They're not something we lug around. They're not something that we detach from. I became a vegetarian as soon as I learned at age 23, as soon as I learned that there was the gunk in the dairy products, and that the cows were taking up more land. And if I ate higher up, I'm going in reverse now. Remind me what it is. Is it lower on the food chain when I eat veggie?
No, it's fruits and veggies are higher up on the food chain.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time since I've talked about this. higher on the food chain is the vegetarian. So if I ate that, I take up less resources. And so if I didn't eat the meat that needed the grass to graze on, then I would be helping the earth. But when I learned about the hormones that were pumped into the dairy to have them produce more milk and more meat, in the chickens to have them produce more eggs and more meat, my whole body went into an up against the spine, erect oh, I don't want that in me. It was a bodily response when I learned that. Right. And I've never eaten meat since. So I have always, like, even at 19, I learned about my first green product, spirulina. And I've been on it ever since, because I was like, hey man, if spirulina has more chlorella in it, and chlorella is what the leaves use to be green, and that green captures the sunlight, how much light will my system capture if I have the chlorella in me? And so ever since then, so working in collaboration with my body, giving it the support it needs to be heartily nourished and to support such a high vibration as mine, and to allow my vibration to go higher. I mean, the bodies have to adjust. It's really interesting. When I take my students, meet me from around the world twice a year on retreats in Glastonbury, England, and they receive their training and attunements there, and we go to sacred sites. And so they're blasted. And it usually takes them like about 2 months to get back into their bodies. And it's so fun to watch the integration process, because old aches and pains that have been chronic will disappear as the body integrates the higher vibrations. So our bodies are our temples. They're here to support us. And if you ask your body, like if you do enough work to get beyond identifying, these are my, this is my mental desire, I feel like eating potato chips, and instead you actually ask your body and can perceive and feel what it genuinely wants, it's pulled towards fish instead of the chicken that night. And you can work with your body in a collaborative effort, and it will respond. It's alive, and it totally converts itself every 7 years. We get entirely new cells, but all of it's alive. Work with your gut. I remember I was driving home on my scooter. There was a local health food store that made organic yogurt. And I used to go there multiple times a week, not multiple times a week, like once a week, to get multiple jars of freshly made yogurt to bring home. And they'd be in my black box in the back of my scooter. And I swear to God, Vaughn, when I was driving on my scooter home, I could like feel like I had a class of kindergartners. Not that I ever taught kindergarten, but it was like popping, like energy, like liveness. Like, I could feel the bacteria's aliveness, you know? So if we have that kind of consciousness in our gut, all that bacteria in our gut to break down our food, and we feed it happy, conscious, alive bacteria, there's a merging there. There's a programming there too of like, respond to this. I'm giving you what you need to live. And thank you, the body says, so here, let's live.
Yeah.
So, and people come to me, they've come to me throughout the years, and I've given interviews. And when I had my own radio show, they would talk about health issues. And I frequently, especially from living in Asia, and especially from doing the studies I've done, I would, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, you can eat your way out of it. Food is thy medicine.
Eat your way out of it. That's a good bumper sticker.
Yes. I mean, it's so funny. There's a province in China, and it's called the protein myth. And a man who was on my radio show, actually, I interviewed about this, and he worked with John Robbins, who was going to inherit the Baskin and Robbins empire. And instead of him inheriting the ice cream empire, he went out and looked at all the dairy farms, was horrified by what he saw, and wrote A Diet for a New America. That's the book I read that made me become a vegetarian. Same with David. So John Robbins invited this guy on, and I was at I was working with them all at a conference in LA. And this guy was the first guy, he was on the first food pyramid for the USDA, and he was sitting around a table with a bunch of beef and dairy and cattle people. And so that was the only time he was on the board to create the pyramid that is our food guidelines, because everybody else was biased because they were in that industry profiting from an increase in beef and dairy and cattle or poultry industries being consumed more.
Well, and you,
oh, hold
you,
on, let me just finish this point.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So he went over, he had a study called the protein myth, and he went over to a province in China, and they were mostly vegetarians. And so when they introduced a diet rich in protein, when it, what was understood is once they went over to 12% of a person's diet being contained of protein, the people started kicking in with the typical Western situations or health issues, like diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. As soon as other countries have had the Western or more American diet introduced to them, those markers start coming in. You can eat your way out of it because you've eaten your way into it.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, you're welcome. You say so many wonderful things that I like, oh, I have a question about that thing. But
I can stop.
No, it's wonderful. You know, I know, like, you know, I grew up with the the Asian food diet. So we have the stir fry, and there's like a, there's literally like maybe 10% of it is meat. Everything else is fruits and vegetables and rice and all that kind of stuff. But as I've grown older, and I go out to restaurants, and I'll eat with different people, it, you know, it is a stark reality that that on a regular basis, some people sit there with a huge plate of steak every night, a couple times in the day. It's like you hardly ever see a vegetable in there. So it is kind of a cultural thing. And the thing that you said about so everybody can lower down the meat intake a little bit and just, you know, try to find foods and recipes that have a little bit more fruits and vegetables in it. And there's plenty of it in Asian and also Mediterranean and in other countries that have really delicious food recipes that have like maybe 10% meat in the whole serving. Even like my favorite pho, like if I get like chicken pho or something, there's maybe only 10% or less of that is meat. Everything else is just fruits and vegetables and so forth. So, and you know, you're not going to miss it that much. So that's just my personal opinion.
We are conditioned to eat more protein than what's necessary. And part is in the profit, the industries who are creating that meat.
Yeah. And you have to also kind of wonder about these scientific research, because we learned from like the cigarette company that they had come out early on with scientific research that cigarettes aren't cancerous, they don't cause, you know, health problems. And then obviously it got to a boiling point where people were getting serious illnesses and lung cancer and whatever from heavy cigarette smoking for a long period of time. And so once it reaches that saturation point, it's no longer sound scientific research that was funded by the exact company that causes it. So, you know, you kind of have to take a step back and look at some of these and just kind of have a open mind to read between the lines. That's why I always say, don't be too polarized in your identity politics, because you might miss some really critical information that could help you out, because you're so focused on one side, and that's not good.
And also people are so concerned about being manipulated, because that's part of what's purging. You know, the being truthful, the being aligned with not telling little white lies, and being everybody being able to kind of see through one's motives. So it's interesting to me to hear what you're saying too, because it makes me, I see people dismissing information. Like I could be marketing something. I have a business. And guess what? I have been marketing inspiration. I have been resistant and refusing to market fear-based marketing the entirety of my business, because I don't want to be part of the problem and pushing the fear. But interestingly, people tend to respond to taking action on behalf of themselves when they have a problem to get out of. Right. Rather than when they want more for themselves.
Right.
That won't motivate them to take as much action as having a problem to get out of. So I have sometimes collapsed that one time and played with it. And I just played with it again today. And do you know, the one time I was working with my business coach, and I finally said, okay, let me try it. Let me sit out of the resistance and let me just go with it. I got more victim mentality clients in. So we have so much conditioning hitting us from advertising, but at the same time, I see people nowadays from the what's gone on during in America during the political campaigns of 16 and 20, as well as COVID. Like, there's now an overemphasis on you can't trust anything you read online. You can't believe anything because everybody has an ulterior motive. I have an ulterior motive, and it's to get you freed up, because, you know, the more free you are, the more free the people around you are, the more free and light our world is. I absolutely have an ulterior motive.
You know, because we're talking about abundance here, and one of the biggest things that right now in current medical news or current affairs is about our health. So, you know, since you brought up COVID, because, you know, the algorithm will pick up the text, the wording, and then they'll scan the wording that we say out as well. So anyways, but there's a growing number of censorship regarding people who are coming out worldwide who are part of the minority that get adverse side effects from COVID shot. So I actually know a nurse here at my local Everett Clinic, which is like a major hospital here. And she got it because of peer pressure. She was one of the very few. And she just went and got it because of peer pressure. She finally said, okay, I'll go get it. She hasn't been able to, she's been part of the minority. She hasn't been able to walk for a week. Okay, real story. And she went to her doctors that she works with. And they asked her, did you get the vaccine? And she said, yes, a week ago. And they said, we don't know how to help you. We don't know how to treat this. This is completely new to the medical profession. There's not enough information and data that has come through yet. So for the small people who do get adverse reactions from this, we're entering new charted territory. So the person's friend asked me, because I do this podcast on energy healing, and they asked me if medicine can't help with some of these people who have adverse reactions to this specific shot, can energy healing address it? I mean, what can we do to help these people and empower them with these severe medical ailments that are showing up so that they don't see themselves as a victim and so that they can move forward with higher frequency and more resonance in their life? Because they don't want to spend the rest of their life feeling like they're a victim and feeling that they've been, taken for a ride, whatever. So there are these people and they are coming forward. People don't want to hear them, but they exist. So what can we do for these people?
Because I don't want to talk about what you've just brought up. I feel like everybody's personal choice and it's too contentious of an issue and people are all over the board with it. And it goes back to listening to your own guidance. Mm. It goes back to getting yourself aligned in a way so that you can hear your own guidance and working in collaboration with your body.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing I will say about this is I have a brother who is spiritual and in the yogic field and was concerned about getting the vaccine, the shot, because he felt like as a spiritual person, it's just not something people in the spiritual community do. He felt guilty, as if he had failed somehow because the nature of his home life and what his wife does for a living, it was going to be nearly impossible for him to escape doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we had a conversation and it's basically like, if I can do clearings and activations to clear old blocks, that's the mind-body connection. I talk extensively about the mind-body connection, automatic triggers.
Right.
In my first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong? And it's like a text exploring how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go there and read that if you want. The bottom line is that if we can clear out what makes automatic triggers happen at the consciousness level, like whenever we go to work and we walk by that person's cubicle, we have come to have an automatic trigger of, I don't like that person. I don't like their energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be because they remind you of a feeling that you had growing up that you don't like having. And so you don't even consciously know why you don't like them. You just decide you don't like them. And it triggers that same aversion every time you walk by their desk at work or cubicle.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can clear out those conscious mind that involve unconsciousness triggers, that is the mind-body connection. If our body's going to freeze every time, it has a bodily reaction along with the consciousness conclusion showing up from the unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that person. The body freezes, it tenses. We can also do that in reverse. We can work in collaboration with our body and ask our body to accept what we're doing integrated into our system for our highest and best. Mm-hmm. We are taught. Now, I'm not a medical doctor. I have been studying the holistic model for decades. Mm-hmm. Western science, as I say in my first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong? Western medicine, rather, is really good with surgeries and equipment and tools and diagnostics. That's its strengths, trauma. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But to go for it for things like diabetes or high blood pressure or cholesterol, when you can eat your way out of it, and for what are known as lifestyle induced health challenges, you can make different lifestyle choices. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean just food and nutrition. I mean, working on your consciousness so that the certain part of your body and then the relative internal organs aren't challenged. If you had more fresh vital life force energy, which is meant to flow when a chakra is open, because chakra means wheel, so it's turning that fresh vital life force energy in that area and in that to that gland and to those organs and along your central nervous system, the more you have of that fresh vital life force. I mean, mm-hmm. listen to that translation we have for chi and for prana, fresh vital life force energy. It's also the second half of Reiki, ki.
Right.
The more you have of that flushing throughout your system, your body, the healthier you're going to be. So I am not only talking about nutrition, but there are choices that you can make in ways to engage in more communication and communion, mm-hmm. and collaboration with your body. Because all of those prefixes, calm means with, mm-hmm. you are with your body. You're not separate from your body. It's not separate from you. And there is aliveness in all of the cellular matrix, all the cells all throughout your system. So you have the ability to in a more aligned state. And when you have a higher vibration, it's easier to do, frankly, make commands.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it goes back down to the same thing when people are saying, I'm getting bombarded by information. I don't know which way is the truth. Yes, you do. And you're not a victim. Mm-hmm. And part of the game is to make you feel like you don't know. So you just have to stay a victim to the outer authorities.
Right.
There's a lot of hype around this whole gig. And I'm going to say something I've not ever said publicly. While I feel I've seen some of the results. Let me give you this story. A woman is at a health spa. It's a gym I used to work out at. It was all women. And this woman is in her 60s, and she sees a woman in her 90s, and the woman in her 90s is really spry, doesn't have a cane, doesn't have any walking issues, all great. They're in the steam room. The 60-year-old says to the 90-year-old, my God, how are you so spry and healthy? Well, I've never taken Western meds. I know that when I went to travel after the political career around the world, I was hitting Africa, I was hitting India, I was going to Thailand, I was going to a lot of places. I had to get vaccinations to keep me safe in those countries. Mm-hmm. Got a little yellow card with the stamps for those vaccinations. Mm-hmm. While I understand profit motive and I understand how it changes someone's vibration and it changes someone's biochemistry to take pharmaceuticals, and that is not always the best choice when there are other options. When you work with consciousness and you talk to your body, that has more power than has been deemed. So what I was going to say that I said I've never said up before in public is that I don't feel that vaccines have some sinister element to them. I don't feel like I remember talking to my dad about this when my mom was diagnosed with a brain tumor and I helped with the energy medicine. I do wipe it off her brain so that the doctor holding the MRI results said, keep doing whatever you're doing. It's a miracle because it's gone. And I was an Indian doctor and I was using part of what comes from his own country.
Right.
So it's not all good and all bad, and you can just paint your brush with everything about them I have to avoid, because it's a juvenile approach. It's a resistant, rebellious approach. There are parts of Western medicine that are helpful. Mm-hmm. And I have a scientist client, and I'm going into this more than I was comfortable doing. I just want to say the bottom line is I don't believe in the sinister intentions boiled into positive intentions of like the United States and distributing the vaccine around the world. Like, I don't believe there's some programming or some chip in it that's going to make us into a herd of cattle. Like, there is some messed up ideas out there about this. And it's just too out there. I mean, get grounded in your body. I mean, there is sinister stuff that happens, and stay away from it, but it just isn't. I've been in politics. I have a master's in public administration. I've studied the government. I've worked closely with it before. It just doesn't operate at that level of sinisterism, and then turn around and altruistically spend millions of dollars of our tax money delivering it around the world. It's not logical. So everybody's system is unique and different. Mm-hmm. And so everybody is going to have their own reaction. They have their own history. They have their own karma. They have their own biochemistry. They have their own blood chemistry. They have their own diet and exercise, lifestyle practices, and stress levels. Mm-hmm. So there's ways to create increasing abundance of health. Are you going to choose them? You know? So I this whole thing about being a victim, I just honestly see it as a lot of whining, if I were to be totally frank, because you can get quiet, you can go in the woods, you can unplug the godforsaken phone, you can get your back up against a tree, you can get your bare feet on the ground, and you can ask your higher self, is this in my highest and best? What is going on here? Mm-hmm. And have a journal with you and write it down, what comes through. Get a highlighter later and highlight through it. I would not trust the first notebook entry though, because that is probably going to be a purging. I used to teach this in the class.
That's the program. The first one is typically the program that comes out.
In the free writing format, not in when you're asking without writing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, there's ways to get your own answer. I'm not going to tell you what to do. It's not my right. It's not my responsibility. But you asked for me to kind of talk around the issue, and there you have it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to add a little bit something about that, because I acknowledge people with this specific shot. I acknowledge, and I've known some who are getting severe illnesses, and they have a clean medical history before months later. And it's not a majority. It is right now a minority. And we will see what happens, because the game hasn't fully revealed itself quite yet.
But why do you call it a game?
In Buddhism, we call this whole thing your sojourn.
Okay, from that perspective, because it doesn't come across like that.
I know. Okay. So your sojourn is your journey. And another interpretation is your vacation. It's your game. It's your path, whatever you want to, you know, term it like that. So it's a game for the consciousness. Yep. So anyways, but with regards to people having severe medical issues that crop up, whether it's from this specific vaccine, whether it's from an accident, whether it's from anything that induces or paves way to illness in the body, whether severe or light, whatever it is. In Buddhism, we know that everyone is energy. And the only difference is the level of energy that your consciousness radiates at. That's why different people radiate different levels of consciousness and attract to themselves different experiences based on that level of consciousness. Now, whatever is going on with your physical body, whatever illness is going on in your physical body, you can go above that frequency and reach for higher frequencies. And so it's kind of like you heal the lower waves with a higher wave. You know, so it's almost kind of like we're going a little sci-fi here, but actually the French virologist Luc Montagnier, who has been highly censored in talking about wave medicine for people who have adverse reactions to this specific one. And a lot of medical research around the world are looking into wave research, where they basically...
It's just energy medicine. Wave
it's just energy medicine. It is.
Subatomic level, it's waves. It's quantum physics. It's basic. It's just, it's everything is energy at the subatomic level.
Exactly.
And when we think about something intensely, or it's a trauma, or we think about something repeatedly, it collapses a wave into a particle, and that's the beginning of physicalization of something. It's just energy. It's not anything bigger than
it. It is exactly what it is. So they're getting into the Western concept of energy medicine. And basically, for people who have different chronic illnesses that crop up for various reasons, they're testing different wave medicine or energy medicine to address that. And it's in the infancy in the West, but in the East, we just call it energy medicine. And the way in which you address imbalance or disease in your body for whatever caused it, is to get quantum and bring up higher frequencies of energy medicine from source, from the light, from Christ consciousness, from whatever you want to label that entity or that being that is in everybody. So you kind of have to get out of your lower consciousness of thinking you're just your body and go higher. And work on those things that are lowering down your frequency and your consciousness, and go higher in your consciousness. And when you go higher in your consciousness, everything that is not functioning in a harmonic state with your new frequency, it will disappear. It will cease. And that's what you've seen with your mom and doing the energy medicine on her brain. And there's been a lot of research in Asia on energy medicine, on people who cured cancers, who cured, Alzheimer's, who's cured scoliosis and realign scoliosis in their back that has been around for a long time. All of a sudden it's realigned. So we're going into the quantum fields of understanding this ancient concept of energy medicine to address severe life-threatening illnesses that come forth, instead of being the human guinea pig to all of these procedures and medicines and all of that kind of stuff. So it was going to be interesting to see where it goes, but I say this and I bring this up because this is ramping up in terms of consumers having these medical issues that modern medicine is not able to help them with. So they're going to energy medicine, and now they're in knocking at our front door. So this is a challenge for energy medicine.
Well, so. I know my first book was written my 10th year living in Asia when it started out as my dissertation for my PhD. And I quote the scientific tools that had been created at that time to measure subtle energy. I'm not aware of any of the studies you're talking about. Were you reading those in Chinese or Japanese? Or when you say these Asian studies have been done?
I've been reading it for the last 20 years. So I'm not, but what's that?
In English?
In English, yeah. And you can watch videos, and there's a lot. There's a lot. You can just Google it, and there's plenty.
So
scientific journals from universities, from different
authors. I don't find the measurement is that plentiful. But what I don't find from my experience that in Asia they label it as energy medicine, because it's so implied that working with energy is a medicine that they would never think to put they don't put those two phrases together.
Yeah.
From my experience. So I feel like energy medicine is a Western created term from my experience and everything I've seen. And I know that for me, I was working with health issues for at least 15 years. People, I feel like, are used to thinking of, and I was just doing, this is my third interview today. I was just doing on the interview prior to this one, I was talking about how I feel like people see energy medicine. I don't even use the word healer. People use it though, thinking that this is what I have to do if I can't get it resolved from Western medicine. I feel like that's old school. thinking. Why would you, like, I don't use or think of working with consciousness and energy as a way to solve problems. I think of it as a way to release all the latent potential. I used to work with health issues, I had to go so high to apply the subtle energy to influence the physical, because when something's physicalized, it takes a lot more subtle energy to change it. If we can catch it at the mental, spiritual, emotional level before it physicalizes, it's easier. Mm-hmm. When it's like more in the waveform and it's less solidified, subtle energy is able to influence it more. I don't mean to say you can't resolve physical issues. I have just had great news today where a woman, because of the work she'd done on her consciousness, and particularly on having less density in her heart chakra area, ended up with a less of a cancer diagnosis for her breast than the doctors were expecting.
Yeah.
So and I consider that a side benefit. That wasn't why she was working with me. She was working with me to lighten up her life and move forward and not feel so heavy or triggered and negative. So I don't, I hear your question when you're asking about health. I didn't intend to come on today's show talking about health, nor where we went, and nor did I really want to talk about what's happening with the current state of coming out of what COVID has brought in. So I'm a little uncomfortable, frankly, about that discussion. But nonetheless, yes, energy medicine is used for helping the body, because the body isn't as solid and real as it seems, and everything is consciousness. So if you think of consciousness as not only mind, the three levels of the brain, the subconscious, unconscious, and conscious mind, but you also think of it as consciousness, like the life force that flows through the chakras. When you're doing a yoga pose, every yoga pose is designed to open up a couple of chakras, then that's more of the life force flowing. That's also, you can call that also consciousness. Yeah. So there, in my world, there is a huge overlap between working with your consciousness, spiritual path, spiritual development, enlightenment path, and just having bodily health. It's to go to energy medicine for just bodily healing. It's never where it ends, because everything is holistic. And so why would you make that bad food choice consistently because of conditioning? Let's clear the conditioning. Because you feel like you're not worthy of having a healthy body, well, let's clear that. Let's clear the trauma that caused you to close down in your sacral area because of the sexual abuse. I mean, there's always all of this other stuff at around something physicalized that we have to peel off in order to have the physical things shift. So yet I still find it extremely limiting to think of using energy medicine only for a physical issue. In fact, I feel like if somebody isn't proactively nowadays going after their own spiritual development, then they're going to have a crisis to force them to.
Well, that's what Dr. K, you're my 53rd podcast interview. This is my first season. And I've interviewed many different energy healing modality practitioners and authors. And I would say half of them got into this because of a severe medical illness that could not be addressed. They tried everything and they...
I need my story, sister.
Nothing worked. And I'm talking, and they would go over the story of feeling like they're being electrocuted, feeling like they're going to throw up every day, feeling like they couldn't, you know, walk. I mean, like just... horrible stories, feeling like their immune system is attacking them, you know, whatever. The horrible stories of severe illnesses that's causing severe pain, and they dealt with it for years going through with doctors, and they couldn't address it. And so they had hit a brick wall, and they said, you know what, I'm going to start looking at you know, the Eastern, alternative Eastern. I tried everything, I might as well. And they went there and they started doing the cleanup, the purging of all of their dense issues in their life, the healing of their traumas, the looking to live a more organic and clean life, the, you know, I mean, the whole holistic, everything you talk about, the whole, and then you write about and teach the whole holistic aspect to kind of how they have a more harmonious relationship with reality. And by doing all that work, they raise their frequency, they raise their consciousness, So much so that
I want to share this with the world. This could help others.
Yes, yes, I want to share my experience. I want to share how I did it. I went there. I had that chronic autoimmune issue. I had that cancer. I had that I couldn't walk. I had that my body feels like being electrocuted all the time and my brain is going to burst. You know, I had all that, whatever the story is. Severe medical illnesses cause half of the people that I have interviewed who are experts in their modality to get into their path of ascension, awakening, and enlightenment, and raising their frequency to get connection to the Christ consciousness within them and everybody else. It took that to get them there.
If you look at my certifications, I have a behavioral change specialist certification. I have fitness and longevity nutrition certification, along with my personal trainer certification. I am a yoga teacher. I have focused on tonic herbalism. So I am very much focused on the body and on optimizing our systems. I hear you, Vaughn. And for me, you can see I'm bored. I'm not with you, but I'm bored with the topic of turning to energy medicine as like the end all, because you've already tried everything that's acceptable. And I'm also bored with the whole market that's developed around people who have a natural healing, who have a healing crisis, not a healing crisis, who have something to heal. They go through Western medicine. They don't find a way to heal it. They go to alternative medicine or energy medicine. I don't mean to put energy medicine in quotes. They use that. And because they have found through another way to heal their issue, they want to talk about it. There's a whole industry. And I coach my practitioners and my students and clients, you know, that there's a whole industry that wants you to help to get your voice heard. So they're banking on you having like fifth chakra blockages. They're banking on you having self-esteem blockages. And so they're going to come after you and say, I'll help you write this book. I'll help you get your voice heard. I'll help you get your story heard. And I know that this is radically upsetting to some people. And I'm sorry for that. But it really, there is such a typical, because this worked for me, I need to share it with others. And a whole industry around that of taking people's money to help them do that. And it's these sweet, loving, kind, caring, compassionate hearts that just want to share. And then they get taken advantage of. I've seen it and it was tried on me. And so what I want to also add to that though, is that when I am training vibrational upgrade practitioners in vibrational upgrade systems of energy medicine and applied mindfulness, the second level is, it's interesting because the second level is master level. Then there's dragon master level and there's grand dragon master level. And at master level, after they first learn how to work, how energy flows within their own system, and they've learned how to work in themselves, they've had enough clearing so that they've raised their vibration and are clear enough to then go and work on others. The next level is being able to, is at the master level. And it's frequently at that level. After they've been cleared, I say, okay, you're ready. You just now said the word cleared, to go work on other people. The next thing that happens naturally in their development is how not to openly share with everybody, how not to go in and help just because you can, how not to go in and give just because you can. And what I see them doing is instead paring down and intensifying their power, because it's targeted in a direction of somebody who is actively choosing to receive the help and want the help and will make great use of it. So it's intensifying their power, as a matter of fact. So I feel like
there's a balance, because it can feed into your spiritual ego as well. Adoration of other people.
Just spiritual materialism by Chogyam Trungpa. Oh, right. I'm not talking about that though.
Okay.
I'm talking about almost the exact opposite of it, as if like you get fed by my ego, and that's not even spiritual ego. That's just ego. I want to be heard. I'm not doing this because I want to be heard. I'm doing this because I see things and have chosen things and have experienced things that I am shown works over and over again, instead of living on a desert island, like scuba diving and kayaking, you know,
it's fun.
What?
Which is fun.
Well, I do that anyway in my life. But what I'm saying is I keep doing what I'm doing because it works, not because I have to be heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not from a deficit.
It's your passion. It's your passion. Yeah.
The bottom line that I'm wanting to communicate is check yourself on your motives. And I see sometimes people are vulnerable
because it's an ego it's a vulnerability within their ego development mm-hmm. that they need to get fed egoically. Mm. And so genuine help comes from when you don't help even when you can.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes back to the classic case of discernment, and everybody has that exercise. Discernment and boundaries. I always bring it up. Well, Dr. K, do you have a last message or a call to action that you want the builders of fifth dimensional earth to know?
Oh, that's such a great label, fifth dimensional earth. I feel like a beginner's mind at this point is what would be the most helpful. The concept of approaching information now with childlike curiosity and asking questions and being less geared towards having to have the answers. As you've just seen me as an expert espouse answers for an hour, over an hour, right? It seems kind of hypocritical possibly, but I genuinely live with a childlike curiosity. I ask tons of questions throughout the day. I feel more comfortable asking questions than I do giving answers, because in right. the asking of a question, it's like an invite to the universe, whereas closes a door when I think I know. Mm-hmm. So in learning to work with your intuition and learning to work with your body, asking questions and allowing it to continually improve by asking an additional question the next day. Mm-hmm. is what I want to leave everybody with, because we are in brand new times right now, and it's a rebirth after the last super full moon and lunar eclipse. It really feels like a different time now, and there's been a lot of stuff talked about online since about 2012, and I feel like a lot of it is just confusing people, and it's not contributing to the actual overall vibrational upgrade we are meant and are going through, and it's causing more difficulty for people. There are no simple, quick, easy fixes to spiritual development. Mm-hmm. If you stop looking for that and you instead apply yourself one growth process at a time, then you'll be better off rather than looking for the quick fixes. I know social media asks us to give quick blurbs and quick fixes and what are your five bullet points and what's your quick tip. And it just genuine spiritual path and development on it doesn't come in quick sound bites. Mm-hmm. And if it does, then you're not working with somebody of integrity, because then you end up feeling pressured because you can't achieve the quick soundbite that they said you should be able to achieve. And then mm-hmm. you feel like a failure. And then you think this stuff doesn't mean anything or doesn't work and you give up.
Yeah. There's always those videos, 5 ways to blah, 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 or 10 ways.
I've used that marketing before. 5 secrets to developing your intuition, as a masterclass. I've used it because it's such a marketing
gimmick. Yeah.
It gets people's attention, but I say what I just said in that very webinar. It's be patient with yourself too. I mean, I know the nature of life right now and the mind is to be impatient, but what would it take for you to have more patience with yourself and this process? Because, a sprout doesn't become a full grown oak tree in an overnight. Acorn doesn't turn into oak tree overnight.
Yeah. And even when the tree grows to full, like a redwood tree grows to this magnificent huge tree, it spreads and expands into a forest.
Yeah. And it blessed us with the sacredness of a redwood forest to walk through.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. Dr. K, I had so much fun talking about your lifetime of work and your books and your courses about energy and healing and your organic approach to living the highest frequency reality here on spaceship Earth, in terms of abundance. So everybody, for more information about Dr. K's books, offerings, and courses, please visit her website, which is Alison, that's AlisonJKay. So AlisonJK.com. And thank you kindly to our listeners for listening to another very enlightening conversation. Until next time, blessings.
Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Merkaba Chakras. where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. For more information about today's guest, please go to the show description. For more information about Vaughn's metaphysical work, please go to MerkabaChakras.com. The views expressed today are for entertainment purposes and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Don't forget to subscribe for more interviews about the fifth dimension. Until we meet again, blessings.